we enter into sacred ground. What Lao Tzu calls the profound virtue. Lao Tzu does not confuse his mind, nor the mind of his students, with righteousness. He does not define virtue through righteousness. So the way gives birth to them, he says, nourishes them, raises them, nurtures them, protects them, matures them, takes care of them. It gives birth without seizing, helps without claim, fosters without ruling. This is called the profound virtue. And how true this is. There are many things that we have lost through the culture of Western civilization. There are many beautiful things that have occurred within us that cannot be realized through thought and belief. We are people of the flesh. That's what we're about. We believe in the things of the flesh. So in doing so, we have no reverence for anything other than the conditions of and the shape of human beings, of human events and circumstances. It is very difficult for the average person to appreciate the beauty of what Lao Tzu is teaching. I want to go back, way back, to Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler of the Jews in his day. He was well thought of. He is a part of the Sanhedrin that crucified Jesus. But he withdrew from that, and that took great courage on his part. He came to Jesus in the middle of the night. He didn't want people to know that he was going to this rabbi, this man, this sage. It would have been a disgrace to him. So he comes in the middle of the night and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus does not agree. He does not disagree. He shows virtue. He answered him saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." This kingdom of God that Jesus speaks of is nothing less than the Tao and how all things in this world work. Nicodemus was confused, bewildered. "How can a man be born when he is old?" said Nicodemus. "Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" This entire miss, this entire misunderstanding is the essence of humankind. This is why people struggle with the Tao, never understand it. They are people of the flesh. They can only believe in what fleshly existence occurs. What a ridiculous statement he makes. Can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? It's ludicrous. But this shows you the difference between consciousness, which Jesus lived in, and the conscience that Nicodemus lived in. He lived in the conscience of right and wrong, good and bad, possible and impossible. He could not see that what occurred around Jesus was a natural occurrence, the Tao. The way gives birth to them, nourishes them, raises them, nurtures them, protects them, matures them. We are not mature people. So you listen to these discourses and you are confused, befuddled. You don't understand. You can't appreciate them. Not because they're not there and available for you to be realized, but because you listen to them as Nicodemus listened to Jesus, thinking that to be born again means to go into your mother's womb. Jesus is very patient, very kind. He answered by saying, "Truly I say to you, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh," he said. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I've said this to you. You must be born again." Now, all of this becomes very difficult when you have been cued by religion to believe that being born again is some sort of Christian movement. It isn't. But what Jesus is talking about is the very same thing that all great masters talk about. That we must revere the way and honor virtue. Have reverence for the way and honoring that virtue. This is not demanded of us, but it is our true nature. We do not understand this at all. Nicodemus listened to Jesus and said, "How can this be?" And Nicodemus said, "You are a great teacher of Israel and you don't understand. You don't know how to bear witness, how to receive love." He said, if you told earthly things to people and you do not believe even in the earthly things that can happen, how can you believe what I am teaching you? You find it great difficulty in virtue and understanding the nature of virtue. Your life is a creation. It is not a condition. We make this creation by what spirit we might have within us. This spirit is the essential inertia to move forward into love. I find people not able to recognize love. Most of my students don't know what love is, and I've done nothing but show them that. To them, love is emotion and romance. It's something personal. But what great teachers, great masters are trying to offer to us is that spirit that love comes from. There is the inexplicable. There are things that occur within us, spiritually speaking, that have no words. Once you are confronted with your anger and hatred and the various forms that it takes in your life, you become immune to love. Most of the people I know are immune to love. They listen to these discourses, but they miss. They don't understand that there is this spirit, this essence, that is seeking to nourish them, to raise them, to nurture them, even to protect them and help them mature. It takes care of us. I have been cared for, you have been cared for, by the unseen hand of love, the Spirit. But we do not understand this. We don't even appreciate it. Because everything, like Nicodemus, has to manifest in the outer world. Nicodemus is taking the words of Jesus literally. How does a man be born again? How does this happen? How do I enter into my mother's womb again, being an old man? This is ridiculous. This is how far away we are. So Jesus said we have to be born of the water. That means cleansing, forgiveness, the essentials of goodness, of virtue. Water is a virtue. It's a symbol of virtue. It was essential, and it is essential even now in our world today. When we send probes all over the universe, we're looking for water, because with water, there is the assumption of life. This is the way we are. We assume a great deal. We are not simple people. Can you hear this discourse? Truly, truly hear it. It is of the water. It is of the Spirit. It is to help you enter into the profound virtue. You are the profound virtue. And you are only realized through silence. The quieter you become on the inside, the less you anticipate right over wrong, good over bad. The more you understand what it means to create without claiming to be the creator, when you are no longer a doer and a doing, you will enter into the Tao, or what Jesus talked about as the kingdom of heaven. This happens in everyday life. Bokuchi was a great Zen master, and he was asked, "What do you do continuously?" You know this story well. You know this, I have told it to you many times. He said, "I don't do anything continuously. Whatever I seem to be doing, I do it totally. When I carry water from the well, I am carrying water from the well. When I am chopping wood, I am chopping wood. When I am sleeping, I am sleeping." This is what was meant by being born again. Everything is total. Everything is complete. The Tao nourishes, raises, nurtures, protects, matures us, takes care of us. And we don't have to think about what we have to do to get it. We are it. The questioner asked, "What are you doing then?" And Bokuchi said, I am not doing anything. When I'm chopping wood, that is all I am doing. When I'm carrying water, that is all I am doing. That is an amazing thing. He said, in everything I do, I am not. Everything becomes sacred. Everything has become, he said, a meditation. I find this to be absolutely true. To have reverence for the way, honoring the great virtue. But if you do not realize the virtue that lives within you, the basic goodness, the inherent blessing of being at one with the all, you will never realize love. The great tragedy of our life is to have so many people around us that we have affection for, but no love for. How can I? When I am not love itself and I don't realize I'm love itself, how can I love you? I can't. I can only imagine, feel affection, have desire, but I cannot love you, because love is not something you project on other people. You are love. Try to understand this. Carrying water from the well, chopping wood, sleeping, whatever you are doing, you are that doingness. And the only way to be that is through non-doing. And there is the paradox, the irony. To do without doing. For me to give this discourse to you without Gregory, without listening to him and his noisy mind, I must live beyond his noisy mind. There must be a love that is greater than my words. When this is understood within, then everything you do, every single thing you do, becomes sacred. And you will be honoring the great virtue. You will have found the most profound virtue, which is doing without, in my case, Gregory. This is the most profound virtue there is. This is why we meditate. This is why we work upon ourselves, why we have workshops and commentaries and retreats, all the things that are offered to you for the sake of one thing, to find the profound virtue that lives within you. You can do this. It simply requires less of yourself. That's all. Don't add anything of yourself in anything you do. Let this great love, this great silence, overwhelm you, melt you, reveal you, mature you, protect you, nurture you, raise you, nourish you. Go beyond the confines of the flesh. The flesh can only know the flesh. But once you realize goodness in you, there can only be goodness. It is all found through the silence. Together, you and I right now. Let us have the honor, the privilege, the maturity to sit in the silence without our human being.